Today, God Himself reminds us that pain exists at Christmas. I want to reflect a little bit about what Christmas means and some of the ways in which the things that we focus on at Christmas push out, undo maybe even some of the work that God wishes to do in our hearts. I want to talk a little bit about the way the lectionary and the church calendar were meant to preserve God, the full picture of God's salvation. I want to talk a little bit about how Herod was threatened and felt exposed by Jesus, and chose to respond in a way that confirmed what was in his heart. In a similar way, maybe not that, hopefully not similar, in a way, Herod is an illustration for us of what it means to accept Christmas and Jesus into our lives, allow it to expose things in us. Well, what are some of the words that you would associate with Christmas? And we'll continue. As those of you, Christmas Day was a bit more informal, and we'll let that extend a little bit further here. What are some of the words that you would associate with Christmas?
Joy.
Love.
Family.
Angels. Celebration.
Peace.
Angels. Peace.
Hectic,
okay, busy, yes. Usually full of some of the things we've mentioned, though, family and friends and gatherings and the food that we saw. Music.
Indulgence.
A shadow creeps across our Christmas celebrations. Indulgence, yeah, yes. Although, remember, if I could mitigate it, that indulgence was commanded by God during the festivals.
Glory.
And we want to say to one another, Merry Christmas. But because of all of these words, there is a sense in which some people feel like they're not allowed to feel anything else. And because of that, Christmas becomes an especially hard time for them. They maybe have lost family. Maybe things have not worked out in life in a way that they're especially reminded of at Christmas. And maybe through misfortune in work or in having to move, they've ended up in places where they are not part of a community. And this is without even entering into the fact that as we celebrate today, we are doing so alongside our brothers and sisters in Myanmar, in Gaza, in Israel, in Ukraine, places where it is not just personal devastation, but citywide, nationwide devastation, and there does not seem to be a hope that at some point things will change. And we say, Merry Christmas. And so some people react to this by withdrawing. As Baptists and North American evangelicals, we don't really have much connection to the church calendar and the lectionary. I know those of you here, long-suffering as you are, have had to endure a series of ministers who have made use of the church calendar and the lectionary. I think for many of you still, it's a little bit confusing, and you sort of say, well, we will probably outlast these ministers, and then we'll get back to what makes sense. But without the lectionary, there's some things that are lost. The lectionary is the series of Bible passages that are chosen in which to be read on Sundays. And some of those lectionaries, the oldest one, if I remember the reading about it, Christmas especially, the lectionary readings, go back to the early church in the first centuries. We have samples of the preaching of that time that seems to match almost exactly the Christmas lectionary that is still in use today. And that lectionary continued more or less with changes until the 1960s. And the change came when churches got together and said, Protestants got together and said, let's create a new lectionary. We'll make it 3 years instead of 1 year, and we want people to hear the whole Bible. And so things changed in the 1960s. But it still, especially around Christmas and Easter, followed the oldest traditions. The goal with the lectionary, you'll have noticed maybe sometimes, is not linear, like this story is followed by this story, but rather it seems to jump around all over the place. The same thing is true with the church calendar. And so we have these moments where at Christmas time, when we start it by Jesus entering into Jerusalem, into the temple, and some of you notice this and say, what does this have to do with Christmas, Joel? Well, it's the lectionary. But that doesn't, why do we have to pay attention to it? It doesn't make any sense. And then on the third Sunday, joy is the story of John the Baptist in prison, and maybe even his beheading. Now, what does that have to do with Christmas? And if you're following the church calendar, do you know the day that follows Christmas Day? What is the day after Christmas? Boxing Day is a recent name. It's St. Stephen's Day. Boxing Day is we're not sure where the word Boxing Day comes from, but a tradition developed where employers would bring gifts to their employees. The poor would be given gifts by others in the streets, and they think there's some connection between that and Boxing Day. But if for those of you who sing, Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen. Yeah, the Feast of Stephen is the 26th. And Stephen, your namesake, what is his story? He was the first Christian murdered for preaching about Jesus, telling others about Jesus. That's what we celebrate on the day after Christmas. And then 3 days later, we celebrate the Feast of the Innocents, the Feast of the Children Martyred. In this way, the lectionary and the church calendar preserve and make clear what God witnesses to in His Word. That in the midst of the calls to be merry and to be joyful and to have peace and to have hope, there is still evil and sin and pain and death. Advent and Christmas, when they're paid attention to in their fullness, lay all of this out. Because this is what Jesus came to address. Not that we would be merry and shut things out, but that we would allow Jesus to confront the sin in us, but also to bring healing, to allow us to be forgiven, and also to encourage us, to allow us, to empower us to forgive others. God is telling us today in His Word, everything is not okay. There is sin, and my Son has come to deal with it in you and in this world. There is evil, and He has come to assert His authority here on earth so that things might be made right. There is suffering, and He came Himself to join in it, to be one of us fully, but also to lead us through suffering and through death into the new life that is coming. There is pain, and Jesus comes to heal, to comfort, to strengthen. And Jesus does this by becoming one of us, living among us as the light. He is the truth. And the way that He does this is, in some ways, we might think, teaching. But it is merely by being. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the truth. And when we meet Jesus, we are exposed. This is what in the Gospel of Luke we heard on Christmas Day. The priest Simeon, the priest Simeon saying that Jesus is a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. Simply by being born, by being alive, Jesus confronted Herod. There was nothing about his teaching, there was nothing about anything that this little baby was doing. But just by being, Herod was exposed. Everything within his heart, all of his weaknesses, all of his evil was exposed. Jesus was a sign, in this case, of God's authority. And so King Herod had a choice. Would he worship God? Would he love and serve God and God's chosen King of Kings? Would he be willing to humble himself and admit all of his fear, admit all of his insecurities, admit his lust for power and his the hold that violence had on him? Could he admit all of that in Jesus' light and truth and humble himself before God? No. All of who Herod really was exposed. He was unsettled. He was afraid when he heard about Jesus. His pride was exposed. His concern for his own honor and respect. When the Magi don't return, I think the word was he felt tricked. The word can be translated mocked, ridiculed. Suddenly, Herod is looking around him, and we would use the word paranoid. He thinks people are out to get him. And his rage and his malice and his hate is exposed. And he would go so far as to kill every child under 2 in the vicinity of the area that Jesus was born. Unless we think that the Bible alone reports on Herod's brutality. We have another source, Josephus, a writer from this time. We have his works and covering all sorts of the events of this time period. And he confirms all of these traits about Herod, adding details that he murdered his own sons, that he murdered a wife, all out of these things that are exposed by Jesus. Now, I don't think these things are true of anyone here. But Jesus continues to arrive in our lives. And every Christmas, what we are praying is that Jesus would be born in us today. And he continues to confront us. He continues to expose us just by coming into our lives. Everything that isn't right and everything that hasn't gone right. In our lives, in our hearts, in our world, and in our leaders. And so Christmas is not the shutting out of pain. It is not turning on light so that we aren't aware of any darkness. We are not trying to hide all of that's wrong in us and in our world behind decorations. Rather, we are trying to lift these things up and allow them to expose in us our loneliness, our pain, our grief, our own resentment, our own pride, our own anger. We want Jesus to be our light in our darkness. We talk about joy because there is grief. We talk about peace because so much is broken and not together, not put together in this world. We celebrate hope because so many have given up. We talk about love because resentment continues to threaten to take up residence in our own hearts. We talk about Jesus Christ and wish people a Merry Christmas because we know there are so many reasons to be filled with pain and grief and discouragement and despair. And God acknowledges all of this in the fullness of the Christmas story, which we celebrate today.